Welcome back to another episode of the Hard Knocks Sorority Podcast, Chummers. This is a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play GM'd by myself, Paul, and driven forward rather noncommittally by Veronica as Cecile, a.k.a. College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, a.k.a. Boxer, and Beth as Grace, a.k.a. Nightingale. This is episode 8 of season 2. In this episode, the team continues to infiltrate Warehouse Alliance under the guise of a security audit. Deandra takes the job almost too seriously. Grace intimidates a guard and makes some horrific discoveries as well. And their cover might have been blown. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the show. Reach out to us on our Discord if you have any comments or want to point out my errors in rules key. Before we get started, I would like to take a moment to introduce you to another great Shadowrun show that recently came back out of the shadows, Tales from the Stuffer Shack.
Hello, Stuffer Shack customer. How may I stuff your shack?
That's right. We're back to stuff your shack, chummer. Grab yourself a handful of stuffers, microwave those instant burritos, and get ready to get back to the shack.
Are you Shadowrunners?
No, we're Stuffer Shack employees.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. This is really strange.
Returning by popular demand, this re-release of the hit 2017 Shadowrun Anarchy Actual Play podcast follows Mika and Augustus, two underperforming clerks.
I don't think we're getting an award, man. That doesn't sound right.
As they stumble through the trials and tribulations of working the night shift in a Redmond Barons convenience store. Remastered. Bigger. Bolder. Girthier.
I like giving Brad shit. I like ruining Brad's day. I like when Brad ruins my day. Oh my god. Oh my god, Mika.
I think you might have a thing for Brad.
Tales from the Stuffer Shack.
You guys have been going at this for a while.
Yeah, and the sick twisted part is that I can't imagine my life without him.
Shadowrun. Nightingale, we're going to try to get to the same location, the upstairs high security.
Actually, it'd probably be wise if I came with y'all physically to upstairs and then went into the astral once we were there.
Sounds like a plan. I set the dog down.
And the dog goes and trots with y'all upstairs.
So if you guys are going to go into the high security place, you have to go through the prison entrance and have an escort.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, so you go back out into the parking lot and into the prison entrance, and as you go through the door, you're in a very short corridor with another door in front of you, and to your left is a security window behind which is sitting an alert security guard, and as you walk through, he says, "Ah, you must be the security audit team that... Michelle was telling me about."
Yep. We're doing our last walk through it, and then we're going to be out of here.
Yeah, I saw or I heard that you had already done a sweep through the admin building and the warehouse.
Yeah, one question about the admin building. Do you guys not usually have a security guard in there, like, at all?
Not usually. I mean, when we're on break, and then
the head of security, he's got his office up there.
Yeah, but that seems to me like a security flaw. I mean, your data's in there, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's our procedure. I mean, to get into there, you got to get through the fence or over the fence, and then you got to get through the door. And
There upstairs windows in the upstairs of
There were, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if I was dedicated to getting into your building, I'd climb up on a roof next to it and just.
Yeah. But if we're talking about like shadow runners breaching the facility, I mean, you know, what's a guard like us, like me, going to do there anyways? I mean, our best bet is if you've got some team of like Tridio shadow runners trying to break in here, is that they're loaded with stick and shock, not lethal ammo. So anyways, this is a small company. We're never going to be the targets of anything like that. But I guess you're going to want a tour of the facility. So I'm going to have to get you, an escort. We can't have you going around any place that is accessed by the inmates. I mean, no offense, but it's just sort of SOP that, you know, not our current personnel is in contact with the prisoners. You never know what could happen.
Definitely.
All right. So he says, I'm going to buzz you through this next door. There's that's the guard's sort of common room area. So I'll have somebody meet you there.
And then we walk through with the dog and the sword.
I don't think, you walk through with the dog. And after a few moments, a rather stout orc woman comes in. She's wearing the same uniform as the other guards. And she says, ahoy there, chummers. I'm Angela.
Nice to meet you, Angela. What's your usual post, first of all? Just security stuff?
Yeah, depends. It's sort of a rotation. Usually here in the prison, the security rooms. We've got a couple of security rooms that have visibility of the area. Sometimes I'm upstairs with the riggers. Sometimes I'm out in the common area. Sometimes I'm out in the yard on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you guys are here about that. Never mind. I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. About what?
Nothing.
Well, you're either going to tell me or I'm going to hunt it. Stickler,
No, I'm not saying anything anymore. You almost got me there.
Well, I could have my psychic dog peek around in your mind.
What? The dog suddenly like shows its teeth and then goes, "Bark!"
All right, you're going to make an intimidation check plus two.
Intimidation? Should I use con instead since I'm actively lying?
No, that's me. I'm making the intimidation check.
You can roll either con or intimidation.
I'm going to roll con because I'm much better at con. There we go, 7.
Okay, where's intimidation?
I get to roll 2.
That's intimidation plus 6, right? So that's an effective of plus. So that's default charisma plus 4. No, because there's also the dog training.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
I'm convincing them I'm a dog.
How many die?
Okay, wait. So that's the so
you only rolled 1 somehow.
I have a 3, but then minus 2, so that's 1 plus 4, so that's 5 die, 5d6. Which rolling locally, I got 3 hits.
All right. So you see the you see Angela blanch, and she looks at the dog in horror, and she says, "Oh my God, that's horrible. Why would you do something like that? Keep that thing away from me."
Well, you kind of got to tell me now, because once she gets started, sometimes she doesn't stop.
You already know. I mean, I can't imagine that you don't already know about it. But yeah, you know, a couple of days ago, I'm not supposed to talk about it. Well,
talk about it, says the dog.
Do you actually speak?
Yes, she actually says that. She tries to put on a gruff voice, and she says, "Talk about that."
The woman puts her hands to her head over her ears and goes, "No, stay out of my mind. Stay out of my head, please. And then she says, it was that thing. Somebody shot at the guard tower. I was so lucky I wasn't on guard that day. They shot the guy was, he was going for a rifle because somebody was flying out of the yard or something. I don't know any more than that. But don't hurt me. Don't stay out of my mind. Guys are horrible.
I give the like calm, like calm down. We need to turn this back. Command in Sprethiel, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's a threat. I'll keep your name out of the my report. I just need to satisfy my.
Yeah, she sits down in one of the chairs, and so she's just sort of getting her breath back, and she's like, I gotta get out of this job. I can't stand this anymore. Too much weirdness.
Oh my god.
I find the idea that she thought that was telepathy fucking Grace, just like...
Grace just like psyched her out of her job.
And Grace sees in her aura as she's dual nature, so she just sees this woman in like utter terror. She's apparently scared of dogs as it is. So, and then the idea of a dog getting into her mind has completely spooked her.
I think Grace is going to like, after a moment, she's going to say, hey, I'm not actually a dog. Please stop freaking out. It's going to be okay. You're okay. And then she just goes right back to acting like a dog.
That does not make it any better whatsoever.
I'm not actually a dog. The dog is talking to you. Its jaws are moving. It's actually talking.
The orc puts her hands back up onto her ears and says, stop. Make it stop. It's talking. It's in my head again. I told you everything.
Nightingale, stop.
The dog looks kind of guilty.
Deandre would remember her name. Did she say it?
Angela.
Angela, please calm what? Down.
Deandre, dog, stop getting inside of her head.
The security audit thing is out of control.
We're a stickler for security.
We're just security guards. We just guard these inmates. This isn't some high-tech facility.
Well, it seems like your boss has picked people a little outside of our pay grade. We'll just let's finish our little audit here. And
we broke her. Oh,
I'm not actually a dog. Oh my god, that's so much worse. I don't know why I thought that would help.
I can't believe the psychic dog.
Deander, make a leadership check.
Okay, I will.
I'm getting a phone call. Fuck.
3.
All right, so you're able to calm her, and maybe not calm her to the point where she's like happy about this, but you're basically asserting your dominance and leadership, and she gets up and reluctantly leads you out, and she says, "Okay, so as you go out." Into the through the door into the corridor, you see another security room. She says, okay, so all right, where do you want to go again?"
I looked at the schematics for the building. I'd like to see the high security storage area upstairs, and if possible, some of the doorways outside the building.
All right, there's a so you're in a hallway now. There are a couple of doors. She goes up to one of them at the end of the hallway. To your right and slides her past. The camera is looking at you guys. The door opens up. You go through another hallway, and on your right you see the security room, one of the security rooms that you must have been talking about, behind some heavy duty glass. There are two security guards in it. Grace, perceiving astrally, sees that one of them is a mage.
Wait. They're not behind glass?
They are behind glass.
She wanted
That's
to be
right.
able to
we
tell.
Said, we said that last time already. All right, so you're just seeing in the physical, you're seeing through the glass, you're seeing these guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the next set of doors you come into what's a common area, dining room, there are a couple of prisoners sitting around watching Tridio screens, and Angela leads you to a set of stairs. You go up the stairs, and She says, all right, so you said you wanted to see the secure warehouse?
Yep, if that's possible.
Yeah, okay. We just got to be a little bit careful in here because you got some of the rigger forklifts moving around. And there's also usually a spirit in here. So not that that's going to be a problem, but just be aware. And she leads you to another door, pass keys you through, and you find yourself in a large space with several stacks of shipping containers, probably about 16 or so. And there's looks like a mechanic bay where there's a forklift that's been half disassembled. Nobody's working on it right now. There's a couple of pallets sitting in the middle of the floor that have some drums on them and some boxes. And then you see a large, like, roll-up door that the another forklift is going in and out of, and another security room with two security guards sitting behind it, or in it, rather. And Angela waves over at them, and they wave at you guys. Above the stack of shipping containers, you also see what looks like an automated gun turret with a heavy machine gun.
Heavy equipment. I see. This is where you kept all the security.
Yeah, this is our secure warehouse for clients who are paying for extra security. So there's magic support here, and she points at the gun turret, and then she points at some cameras. Grace, you do see a fire spirit, an unmanifested fire spirit in this location.
I'm totally going to ask what its instructions are.
Are you going astral?
Once they get off of our back, and I can reasonably like slip in between two crates just to lay over.
Doesn't seem like Angela is inclined to be leaving you at this point.
Doesn't seem like she's inclined to leave us?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I'm going to pick up the dog.
No. Presumably would have discussed having the dog, like, take a rest. Maybe you could tell it to heal, and it, like, lays down at the door or something. That makes sense, right?
Not really.
No.
I mean, yeah, if you brought a security dog through the whole building, walk through security with that.
Yeah.
You have astral, you have, you're dual natured, right?
Yeah.
Do you get anything through the boxes, or do you have astral to check the box?
I'm pretty sure I'd have to go inside of the boxes. Even, like, seeing through the crates is kind of dubious, because, like, depending on how thick the crates are. Like, the big ISO containers I'd actually have to go through. So I'm going to have to project.
Think picking you up is the best strategy?
Yeah. A side question. You know how I can talk to things in the astral? Can I do that while still in my body? Or do I need to be out of my body to have conversations in the astral?
I guess I was approaching it sort of as if you're just, if you're not in the astral, if you're speaking to them, I was thinking that there would be a physical manifestation to your speaking, which could be wrong. I mean,
you're natured, right?
Yeah.
Not that you speak astrally while you're in meat form.
What'd you say?
Like, you can perceive astrally, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can speak astrally while in meat form. Well manifested. I'd say it wouldn't, because I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I should probably look up rules guidance, but for now we'll just assume that I can't have conversations over the astral if I'm not projecting.
Yeah, I mean, the spirit obviously sees you, and you could speak physically, and it would probably hear and understand you, but then you'd be speaking physically and potentially giving away the fact that you can see in the astral and speak.
The dog is just going to lay down.
All right. The dog lays down and takes a nap. This happens in real life all the time, so
yeah,
totally plausible.
First, I'm going to actually project up there and say hello to the spirit. And
as the dog lays down, Angela looks at it and she says, is it sleeping?
It casted a spell. It has a mini much drain. It must take a nap.
Angela seems relieved. And so as you enter astral and go up to the fire spirit, it's just hovering there, observing the group at this point.
Hello, friend. Hi.
It turns to you, and you sort of get a roaring, whooshing sound of flames which dies down again, and then it says, greetings.
Hi. So, we're here doing stuff that you probably don't care about. I just wanted to know what your instructions are, you know, so that we don't have to trouble you with doing any work for your pitiful summoner.
I await the commands of my summoner.
Oh, so you aren't just bound. Were you summoned here today?
I was summoned here today. Today? What is today?
And then she promptly tries to break it down into objective time units. She would probably say, have you been here for a full cycle, for more than a cycle?
No.
Okay.
This is an uncomfortable place to be.
I imagine it is. I'm sorry about that. Actually, what are the banishing rules? No. Wait.
If you banish it, the summoner will know.
Okay, the summoner will know. It would be funny to just be like, hey, do you want to get out of your job?
And you want to go play hooky?
Want to go play hooky, dude? Okay. Well, I suppose. Are there any watcher spirits floating around in this? Or is it just the fire spirit?
It's just the fire spirit.
Okay. I guess it's time for me to go and go search through the ISO container. Though, I would be careful about actual parts of the facility to be mindful of mana wards so that I don't accidentally trip one while I'm doing it. Like the walls and whatnot.
Yep. I think the last time that you were in here, you found that the normal warehouse did not have a ward on it, but that this one did. But you're inside of it at this point.
Oh, does it lift whenever you're passing through the door? Or is it not, like, does it not include the door, the ward on this warehouse?
It apparently, as you came in through the stairs and through the door, you were already within the envelope. So it's on the outer walls, and you came through when you came through the entrance, the main door, you passed through it, or it was lifted.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing that I did downstairs up here.
All right, so you're going to search through these containers?
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Is this a common sense moment?
No, just asking.
Yeah, I plan to search through the containers.
All right, so most of them appear to contain astrally inert items or materials, so not anything that you can really perceive of what it is. Then you enter one that has materials in it that are biological and magical in nature, reagents. They appear to be the skins of a sentient being or sentient beings. You would have to make an arcana check or some other similar check to potentially get more information. But it's sufficiently horrifying to startle you and require maybe a composure test.
Well, she would definitely need to do a composure test. She was expecting it, but she also going to roll. I just want to confirm that they're paracrine. So I think a sensing would be fair, right?
Okay.
4d6.
4d6?
Okay, I got 3 hits.
Okay, so with 3 hits, you are horrified to recognize that these are not just paracritters, but these are the literal skins of sentient beings.
And the metasapiens, like Sasquatch?
They are the skins of a metasapient species that you... Do you have an arcana skill?
She does. She would only be rolling 2 die for it, but she could roll.
Yeah, go ahead and roll.
Okay.
You could always edge it.
I don't think it's that important. 0 hits.
Yeah, I mean, probably the ick factor and the sort of the horror factor of it prevent you from getting any more information, but obviously it seems like a tribe or a family was slaughtered and harvested of their skins that are now stored in this container.
Jesus Christ. Oh my god. That is terrible. Oh my god.
And metahumans make these people rich.
And so this is why you get to roll a composure test.
She has 9 die for that, you said, right? So that would be 7 after the penalty for maintaining the spell.
Mm-hmm.
So roll 70. 1, 2, 3. 3 hits.
Okay, I would say three hits is enough to keep your composure and stop you from automatically fleeing out of the astral. Do you continue searching?
Yeah, but she makes a mental note of it with a sense of direction where that is so that she
okay. can
bring the rest of the group back to it. She probably needs a moment to like calm down and, I would say steal her stomach, but she doesn't have a stomach with which to puke. She would probably be puking quite a lot if she did currently, but fortunate enough.
The next container that you go into might be worse.
I mean, more evidence is more evidence.
As you enter into it, you feel 10 pairs of eyes turn towards you. The creatures in this container are dual-natured.
It's alive!
And they have the shape and form of humans, or
meta-human.
Some meta-type. But they have lost their minds, and as they stare at you...
It's ghouls! They're trading ghouls!
You get an overwhelming wave of malice and hunger waving coming across you.
I imagine she floats in, falls onto her hooves, kind of like skidding to a stop in an exaggerated way. She looks at them, they look at her, they start moving, and then she just like says, oh, sorry, wrong room, and backs right back out.
So those were the only two containers that you found that had anything in them that were astrally interesting.
Okay. So they're moving ghouls in paracritter parts, but specifically metasapient parts. And metahumanity makes these people rich. They've built a society to make people like that rich. My goodness. Ugh. I'm going to go back to my body.
All right. As you come back to your body, you see Dinder and Boxer having a sort of a conversation with the guard Angela. But as you wake up, as you sit up, Angela looks at you and sort of takes a step back and says, it's awake?
She is awake, yes.
There's that generic dog noise they make when they like fluff out their head and the collar tinkles. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. The sound of ears flopping about.
Yeah, that's it.
Have you guys seen everything that you need to see here? I mean, it's quite secure. You see, we've got the two security guards over there. That one's Bob. He's actually a mage. The gun turret's up there is active, and it's got an auto soft. So if for some reason the person controlling it down in the security room gets incapacitated, it can act on its own.
He's thinking about how to kill everyone inside of the room.
She says, but I got to tell you, I mean, nobody really likes hanging out up in here. This place gives everybody the creeps.
The dog whispers, maybe you should go.
Are you whispering that out loud to her?
Yeah.
She looks at Boxer and Dander. I can't leave you alone. You guys have to have somebody with you.
The dog starts growling.
Angela's starting to visibly freak out.
It
I don't know what to do.
To the door with its head.
Stop. I was in the bathroom.
The dog stopped.
Grace is intimidating Angela again.
The second Grace starts,
you fucking pick her up. The dog stops immediately, and it's like she's an adorable, lovable puppy.
Except for Angela doesn't believe.
Angela doesn't believe it. She knows it's a lie.
She knows it's a lie.
Angela knows the truth. Oh, the horrid truth.
Poor Angela. She's stuck between a rock and a hard place. She wants to keep her job, but she wants to get the hell out of there.
She's stuck between a job and a magic dog.
Not everyone can bear the burden of truth.
We do not envy Angela.
Rest in peace, Angela.
I'm not a dog.
So, you guys don't know what Grace saw.
I had an actual question to ask. I put the dog down. And so I imagine that Boxer and Grace can talk. I say to Angela, this may be a weird question. It's an awkward time, I know. But, do you, it bothered me down in the warehouse, but especially up here since this is so close to cell block. Do you guys ever double check what comes through here? Do you know what's being sent to you guys?
No. We're under strict orders. Never, ever. That's absolutely a firing offense. Nope. We just make sure everything's secure. Actually, this area here, no inmates come into. They just operate the forklift.
Yeah, but I was looking at schematics that was sent to me, and Dandare points to the wall where the rigger bays are. The riggers are just in that room, and the cell block is behind this. What's stopping someone from shipping an army in here and busting their friends out?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I could see that happening, but I mean, it seems like an awful lot of trouble to go through for, you know, just some criminals. I mean, yeah, it happened the other day, like I said, but she looks over at the security room with the other guards and sort of quiets her voice. She's like, oh, it happened the other day, but, you know, I mean, they never came in here. They just picked the guy out of the yard.
I still think.
I mean, you guys are making this out like it's like some super high security facility. It's nothing like that. I mean, this is just run-of-the-mill routine. There are Warehouse Alliance facilities all over the Seattle Metroplex. We're not like Fuji or whatever. I mean, you know, we're just shipping container transshipper.
With correction.
Well, yeah, we contract the riggers out. But, I mean, that's just, you know, they got to have a job too somehow, and they got to be, you know, it's probably better for them than just being in a prison.
Do you mind if I speak with my partner? For just a moment.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'll go over and I'll talk to the guys over there. And she starts wandering over towards the security room.
I pick the dog up again. And we all get like really close.
I huddle up?
Yeah, I huddle up. What's in the containers?
Okay. So there is a murdered family of metasapiens and metahuman ghouls.
Is there anything?
Those are the only things I found.
Well, I know trafficking of ghouls is definitely illegal. And,
I'm going to get out with a ghoul's body. Also, are ghouls people?
No, not really.
Not anymore.
At that point, you, I guess, all three of you can make a logic test plus two.
Putting our heads.
It would probably. Dinder, you think it would probably be valuable if Grace could point out exactly which containers, because if you saw the containers, you could see who they were registered to, which company, and then you could sort of line that up with some of the manifests that you checked out earlier.
Oh, yeah, she could do that. She could do it real easy.
All right, so you're not surprised to see, or maybe you are, but not as surprised to see that the two containers that had the astrally objectionable items in it are registered to Ogura Freight. Actually, most of the containers in here are registered to Ogura Freight.
Now, here's your question. How do you make sure to get this evidence out?
Well, would a picture of the ghouls be sufficient?
I imagine very much, as if there's significant evidence like a shipping container label.
Noise recording.
They did ask for physical, the job did ask for physical evidence or physical specimens.
Well, we could
take. It's unlikely you're going to take a ghoul.
We could take the metasapient parts, but we could also get.
The metasapient parts were relatively large, by the way. The other thing is, you know, with your logic test, Dander, if those two containers were from Ugura Freight and they had that in it, the other containers from Ugura Freight might have something else in it that just isn't astrally interesting, but is just as valuable as evidence and easier to take or obtain.
But I feel like...
Oh, yeah. The other stuff is way more shocking. No doubt.
Grace, if Deandre were to express this, Grace would probably say that she feels like these people need to go down for that because... I imagine it's a lot worse what they did legally speaking, and people should know.
Actually, so make a logic test plus two.
Is that me?
Yes.
I critically glitched, actually.
All right. So yeah, that's, you think that is correct. What you just said, you feel that passionately and deeply. Let's let Deander make another logic test then.
Plus two or just
plus two, yeah. As Grace is sort of making four. This passionate plea for for justice, I guess.
Exactly what she's doing.
So Deandre, you get what Grace is saying, but you also the pieces that you're putting together. Warehouse Alliance didn't kill the people, and it didn't imprison the ghouls. They're just sort of adjacent to this criminal endeavor. Maybe culpable on their own, because if you could, you know, from your time in the police, if you could prove that Warehouse Alliance knew what was in there and was getting paid for it, that would be one thing. Then they would be criminally liable. But if Warehouse Alliance doesn't know what's in these containers, they're going to skate.
Did you pull up payment records when we were looking through the data?
Yes, she did.
Also, Boxer, do you speak anything but English?
Spanish.
Spanish, yeah. Great. I think we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
And there, you know, it, I mean, it, to some, with that logic rule, you know that to some extent, there's an unknown here. You don't know what your Mr. Johnson actually intends to do with this information. The mere association, whether criminally culpable or not, but the mere association with these types of activities, and if Agoura Freight really is a Yakuza front, then the mere association is going to damage Warehouse Alliance significantly.
We have to get physical evidence of what we need or what we say, because they're going to take the people with the money.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is, you know, if your Mr. Johnson wants, you know, it's a couple of things could be going on here, right? The Johnson might want to use this for additional criminal activity or as leverage, or if they're going to go to Knight Errant to raid the place, then you're going to need physical evidence more than just hearsay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you just don't know the intents of the Mr. Johnson at this point.
Well, she doesn't know, but she feels like it kind of goes beyond that the Yakuza, that their operation needs to be shut down, that they need to be punished for this. She feels morally responsible, and she doesn't really know what she can do other
Grace,
than... Yeah?
You're not going to take down the Yaks in one...
All you're going to do is get them onto us, and then what can we do?
I agree that the right thing would be to attempt to take down the Yaks, but it is not a viable option for us, unless you want to play, what is it, the bee in the bonnet.
What does that mean?
I have an auto picker. I could be able to get one of those crates open. Do the crates have mag locks or physical locks on them?
They have both a mag lock and a physical security seal. So like a wire that's been threaded through the handles with a melted on lead seal. So you can't open it without without it being obvious.
Grace, is there any way you can rile inside?
At that point, you see Angela's coming back, and the other security guard's coming back with her. And Grace, you can see that he is astrally perceiving and looking at you.
Oh shit. I'm going to say yes, I can, but then like flick an ear towards the sec mage who is approaching us.
All right. Deander, make a judge intentions roll.
I'm good at that. 4.
All right. So you interpret Grace's ear flick correctly. This is something you've probably discussed before you came. So you look over in the direction that she is pointing, and you see Angela, the security guard, approaching with another security guard who seems to have a higher rank than her, has maybe a lieutenant's badge, and they walk up, and he appears to be looking at Grace, and then he looks at you, and he says, that's an interesting animal you've got there. What is that?
Family pet.
He chuckles. Ah, yeah, right. That thing must have cost the company quite a bunch of money. I mean,
actually, it's a family pet.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on now. That thing's cruel natured.
No. You don't understand. She saved my life once, more than once.
It's dual natured. It's perceiving in the astral.
Do you know why no one does anything when I carry...
What was the last part?
When I carry a sword around and I put my hand on the sword, kind of rattled a bit.
What? No, I don't understand. What does that mean?
I'm an elvish knight. I fought in more than one battle.
Yeah, okay. I mean, whatever. But so, you guys are from Auburn Security?
Well, yes. Now we are.
So, can I see some credentials, please?
Sure. Pull my badge out.
He gives them to Angela, and he looks at Boxer, says, and yours?
He offers hers as well.
He hands them to Angela, and he says, go run a check. Go run that by Auburn sec. He looks at you, and he shrugs, you know, just doing our job.
Yeah, I fully understand. We're kind of a wild group for them to send, to be honest. Me and my partner here, I'm Ocean of Boxer.
Because you should know that we've got more than just, physical security here. Boxer, all three of you can make a judge intentions check if you want.
How many? What's judge intentions again?
It's charisma plus intuition, I think.
Yes, it is.
I got 4 hits.
You got 4 hits. Dinder got 3 hits. Boxer got 1 hit. Boxer, you think there's something a little shifty about him right now? Dinder and Grace, you have the feeling that he's trying not to let on that he's suspicious of you, but at the same time, sort of, if you are not what you say you are, that warning you that he's not defenseless, basically like trying to scare you from doing anything against him. As Angela walks back to the security room to follow his orders and run your credentials. He says, so how long have you been with Auburn Sec?
Not very long.
I've been around longer.
Yeah, so pay good or?
Not as good as you think it'd be.
I mean, I got to imagine that to send a team like the three of you, and he looks at Grace again, you guys seem like you'd be pretty valuable assets.
I don't think they really recognize us.
So why do you stick around?
I'll be leaving soon.
Mostly for personal reasons.
All right. Well, from my understanding is you guys have pretty much had a tour of the facility. Is there anything else that you need to see?
I'd like to check your exits. I'm pretty sure we can do that from the outside. That's about it. I can look at camera coverage with schematics.
At that point, Angela comes back and says, yeah, the credentials check out, boss. And he says, all right, well, Angela, why don't you show our visitors out through the front? And I think that sort of wraps up your business here for today.
The code would be, like, designated for, if we're going to do anything, we should do it now, to Boxer and Nightingale.
Nightingale, you are in the astral. You see that the fire spirit has seems to be focused intently on you guys and is now hovering right behind the mage.
I do have to say, you'd have to be completely insane to try anything in this building. Good security.
Okay, so how does banishing work?
Well, there are rules for it.
Boxer was saying that pointedly.
Yeah, but it sounds like Nightingale has
a mission.
She's a justice warrior.
Oh, I like those.
No, you misunderstand. Like, she said, if we're going to do anything, we need to do it now. Yeah, unless we're going to come back, I guess. Because that fire spirit is going to be the end of us if I don't banish it right now. And we don't leave right now.
Then we can leave.
Is that what we're doing?
So what Boxer's hinting at.
You know what? I'm in the wrong book.
Deandre is unsure. She'd like to have physical evidence, but I'm pretty sure we do have enough circumstance to at least get a get something down. We have logs that they're working with Ogre Freight.
Yeah, you can always pursue the Ogre Freight thing for a bit.
Yeah.
Potentially use that for something else. There's a banishing focus. I don't suppose you have one of those.
No, she doesn't. So let's see here.
Banishing 179, page 179.
Each net hit scored by the magician reduces the services owed by the spirit by 1, including any it is currently engaged in. If the spirit's services are reduced to 0, the spirit will seek to depart on its next action. The banishing magician, or any magician with line of sight for that matter, can make a summoning test against the spirit before it departs, bringing the spirit into her own service instead. A spirit banished and summoned this way can later be bound as well. So, wait, I can tell it, like, fuck off, and then I can summon it so that it doesn't, there's no delay between it coming into action. Okay.
Vanishing is a complex action, so...
I don't know if I should do this. I feel like I probably shouldn't.
Your choice. If we're going to do it, then...
I feel like I'm going to get us killed if I try and do this, so...
There is a turret with a heavy machine gun up there.
But the fire spirit, my friend. I don't actually know. What force is it? Can I...
Did you sense it? I think you did, but you didn't get very many hits on it.
Yeah. I don't suppose I could take another look at it now.
You could take do it again. Minus one dice.
I only scored one hit.
It seems like a relatively... Wait, there's a table for this. And I don't know where it is. Do you have the page open? No.
It wouldn't give me any information that is like relevant other than its emotional state.
Yep. It seems to be in a heightened state of awareness, and that's pretty much all that you know about it.
We just need to go. I'm going to stand down. Let us just leave.
All right. So you guys are leaving?
Yep.
All right. So Angela escorts you out of the building, and as you're leaving, she says, thank you for coming by. And as you turn to look, Grace, you see that the fire spirit has followed you down as well.
Thank you again, Angela. You've been a great help.
Okay. Hopefully you don't have to come back again.
Hopefully not.
And you said you were going to keep my name out of it, right?
That's correct. No one even told me anything while I was here. Everyone refused to answer my questions.
Thank you. All right. So you guys, I imagine, are catching a grid guide away.
Yep. Catching a grid guide to the bikes, getting on the bikes, and leaving.
All right. Where are you headed? Anywhere special? Or?
I'm at D&D would probably head. But if the what dog is in the sidecar, D&D would head for her flat. But if Grace is in the sidecar, she'll head for Boxers first.
All right. So you go to Boxers. Are you going to have any discussion, or are you just going to sort of break at this point?
I do think we should have some discussion, but it is a bit late. Maybe we have discussion next week.
Okay.
I confirm. Next week.
Yeah, so you have, unless you go back today, you've burned one of the 5 days that you were told that your passcodes and identity would be good. On the other hand, you're not entirely sure whether how wise it would be to return under this current guise, right? So just something to think about.
We should totally get a crate in there secretly.
I still have to talk to the doctor.
Yeah, Kaylee.
Who is this Kaylee?
By the way, when did you get to needing to talk to a doctor anyway? Did I miss that part?
Yes.
That was intentional, I believe.
Oh.
Here I was thinking you wouldn't know the name. How wrong I was.
Cecile was doing a search and came up with a name with somebody by the name of Kaylee. Kaylee Lorraine, to be specific.
And to think you all believed Cecile wasn't busy.
Kaylee Lorraine, who is an orc street doc with a clinic, a street clinic in Auburn that Cecile needs to have a word with. And that word is going to be happening at about the same time that you guys are doing the run on Warehouse Alliance. Could be interesting.